You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Good morning, saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up. I don't know about any of you, but I sure need another cup of tea to get me going this morning. And don't know about any of you, but it's time that we wake up to hear his heart and to do what he tells us to do. I wanted to say a special thank you to several people, Mark and Mary McHale. Thank you for your support and supporting me on the radio and ministry. Words cannot describe my gratitude, gratefulness. I'm humbled by it, and I want to say thank you both. And also, happy birthday, Mark. I was surprised you had a surprise party that you were unaware of. So I just want to say thank you. And from the bottom of my heart, Sue and I want to say happy birthday. And for Lisa and Mike, just thank you also for your generous support to the ministry. I can't seem to thank you all enough. And for those of you, and my wife too, she lets me, when I get a little low in the ministry account, she doesn't ever grumble about me taking money out of the checkbook to keep me going in ministry. So, sweetheart, thank you so much. And for all of you who are listening, I hope you get encouraged by what I share. You know, God's not looking for perfect people. God's not looking for people with ability. Just remember, God's looking for people with availability and a willing heart. So just remember that. That's a willing heart. It's all he's looking for. Are you willing? Like the disciples. You know, the disciples were, you know, they were fishermen of men. And Jesus came to them and says, you know, drop your net, boys, and come follow me. And you know what? They dropped their nets, and they followed him. Did they have ability? They might have. What they did have is availability and a willing heart to drop their nets and follow him. You know, my biggest problem in life is when he tells me to do something, I want to drag my net with me. I want to have a backup plan. You know, my security. You know who's our backup, y'all? And that's Jesus. He'll back you up whatever you do. You don't need a backup plan. I didn't read in the Word that the disciples carried their nets with them just in case Jesus didn't provide for them and come through. They could go back to fishing. No, they dropped the nets and they followed him. And so, you know, my word of encouragement for all of you is just seek ye first, as the scriptures tell us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So I was going to play a song this morning, but I think my device, Danny, is not working. I saw it was flashing red. I don't think it's working. So anyway, I'll try it again. I was going to play a song for you, My Heart Beats for You by Michael W. Smith. I don't think my little device is fully charged up. I don't think it is. But anyway, I think it's, I tried to charge it up, but I guess a week, cold weather, I guess I got to charge it up. But I was going to play a song by Michael W. Smith. I can't. I'll play it next week. Is My Heart Beats for You? And does your heart beat for him? You know, I surely hope it does. Are you falling deeper in love with him? Not the things of the earth. Remember, the scriptures remind us all, you know, that, bless, you know, in Proverbs, I remembered that better where there is little, where love dwells, than plenty where hate abounds. You know, you can have a lot of stuff and not be happy. Or you can have a few things and be very happy. Things on this earth will never bring happiness. You know, people that are into drugs or alcoholics, they just want their peace through drugs or alcohol. And those things, his word reminds us, the scriptures tell us that peace I give unto you. And it's not as the world gives, but I, he said, gives unto you. Our security is only found in not the things on the earth, but our security is found in him. And sorry about my music. I'm kind of caught off guard, but I guess I didn't charge it long enough. And with the cold weather, I think it ran the little battery down in it, so should have a backup one. So anyway, my message this morning, you know, is to me, I had to, you know, when I was studying, it's like, never thought of this, and the Lord showed, never thought of this, Lord. It's going to be found in Genesis chapter 3. The temptation and the fall of man. It says now that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in that day you will eat of it, and your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant in the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now this verse 9, again, we're in Genesis chapter 3, and if you look carefully at verse 9, you know, if you look carefully at it, it says here, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now think about that one now. Where are you? You know, think about that one. And you know, that God would tell Adam, where are you? If God knows all things, why would God say to Adam, where are you? If God knows everything, he knew the exact grid coordinates where he was hiding, he and his wife. He knew exactly where God knew where they were. Why did he say, Adam, where are you? Now think about this, saints of God. You know, where are you when God knows everything? Again, he knew the exact grid coordinates was where he was hiding. Why did God say, where are you? And, you know, as I was reading this, the Lord showed me something that he knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to say, where are you with me? Think about that one. You know, where are you with me? What did you do? Where are you with me? And some of you, I challenge you, where are you with God? If he were to call out, where are you? You know, have you strayed from him? Have you walked away from him? Have you, you know, gotten offended at the pastor or someone in the church? You know, I love what my pastor said once. He said, you know, if a person in church upsets you, offends you, don't worry. There'll be plenty others in church that'll love on you, encourage you, you know? So don't get discouraged by the one person that tells you something and gossips about you or puts you down, because there'll be plenty other people in the church that will stir you up and encourage you. So don't forget that. So here God's telling Adam, you know, where are you? And I had to think about that when I was reading, Danny. I had to think, why would God say, where are you? I mean, what do you think, Danny? You know, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but why would God say, where are you? You know, think about this one, folks, because God knows everything. If you try to hide on God, he knows where you are. But God wanted to know, Adam, where are you with me? What have you done? My relationship with you, what have you done? You did not listen. And then if we read on to verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, now listen to this, you all. This hit me pretty hard. This is verse 12. Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. So here Adam was blaming the wife, pointing the finger at her. Think about it. You know, the wife you gave me made me do it. And then Eve, God said to Eve, what is it that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So she was putting the blame on the serpent. You know, Adam was blaming Eve, and then Eve turned around and blaming the serpent. You know, if we've done wrong, you know, it's easy to point the finger. Well, you know, that person made me do it. You know, I'm blaming him, you know. And not taking responsibility for what we've done, you know? It's just like one time in the mission field, when I was in the mission field, I was at a church service, and this pastor was praying for people. I think his, what was his name? Shambach was praying for people. And so, if you've ever heard of Shambach, he's a little different, quite wild. So he was praying for this gentleman in the prayer line, and asked the gentleman, said, what can I pray for you? What do you need prayer for? And the gentleman said, man, you need to pray for me, sir, because the devil's making me do a lot of stuff, and I don't like it. He said, stop blaming the devil. You wanted to do it, and you know it. So we need to pray for you. So it's easy to pass the buck on someone else. You know, they made me do it. You know, look, let's take responsibility. And in verse 9, when it said, the Lord called to Adam and said said to him, where are you? Adam, where are you with me? Saints of God, is God calling you to say, where are you with me? You know, and I think some of you, you know, your walk, maybe you walked away from him a little bit. Maybe you got upset because he didn't do what you wanted him to do. But, you know, remember, God's time and your time are different. You know, his timing, you know, if you need a physical touch, you know, God's time's different. You can pray, but don't give up praying, you know. Don't abort something that God's put in your heart to stand on the word and pray, because God's timing is different than your time. And if it's financial, you know, well, God will take care of you. Whatever the word says that you put your hand to, he'll bless. Also, the word also tells us the gift in you will make a way. So the gift in you that God's given you will make a way. Don't just sit down and give up and, you know, say, well, you know, God didn't open that door. You know, you have to be patient. You have to be patient. Because, you know, God's still working on you, you know, with you. And I have a friend that's building a building, and he's trying to build this building debt-free for the ministry. And I know that when they were building this building years ago, what took the longest is not the building going up. What took the longest of that building was the foundation. His foundation took a long time. They had to go deep into the earth, and I believe I can't remember if it's 20 stories, and then there's a outdoor at the top that you could look out over Orlando. It's exquisite. But the foundation of that building took the longest. And in our lives, that's what Jesus wants. He wants a foundation that's, you know, firm and set, you know, with him, that we're rooted and grounded in him, so that when the storms come or the disappointments are, that you won't be shaken. You won't be shaken. Then that building goes up faster than it took that foundation to build. You know, and that's an amazing, and that's what Jesus wants. Sometimes I believe in my heart, you know, that sometimes God has to tear this flesh apart, tear us down, build the foundation, and then build us back up. You know, you might disagree with me on that one, but he wants to build us up, that we hear his heart, that we do what he tells us to do. You know, because I believe everyone's called. I do. I believe everyone's called. You could disagree with me on that one, but I believe every human that's born has a gift, has talent. But like a tree, if you look around, it's been so cold in Florida that I think everything's dormant. You know, the trees are brown, and, you know, this is gone. And sometimes I think our life has gone dormant. And sometimes I believe God's saying, where are you? Why have you gone dormant on me? And let those gifts that I've given you and the talent that I've given you be awakened. You know, we all have gifts and talents, but remember, it's not about us. And it took me a long time to understand that. You know, it really did. You know, I used to be on Christian TV. I'm not sharing this to brag or anything, and I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed ministering to people there and encouraging them. And not so much the glamour of being on TV, that was okay, but I mostly enjoyed the people that came to the, I think they were called telethons or back then, and I enjoyed meeting the people, and I got kind of cocky, I guess you could say. I'd ask my wife, you know, how'd I do on TV? And she looked at me one time, and she's kind of disappointed. Sometimes I think we can, you know, our flesh can get the best of us, and it can be about us when it should be it's all about Jesus and not us. You know, the Bible said your gift will make a way. You won't make a way, but the gift of the scriptures tell us your gift will make a way. You don't need to bust that door down. You don't need to advertise your gifts and your titles. You don't need to do that. You know, your gift in you will make a way. You won't. Your gift will. And it got to where that it took an auto accident to wake me up. A man wanted to commit suicide one day, and he took his car and plowed it into me. He passed away. And I was left, I tell you, it took me a long time to recover. Then I spun into viral pneumonia, was given 2 days to live. I tell you what, you know, in life we can get bitter, and that's what happened. I got bitter. You know, my job was gone. The ministry was crumbling. Finances departed, and I was getting bitter. You know, instead of getting better, I got bitter. And I'm sure the Lord says, Tom, where are you? Where are you in this? It's not about you being on TV and, you know, getting caught up, and it's all about him, because, you know, scriptures tell us, we don't have the nail marks. You know, he does. And it tells us that he shares his glory with no man. So it's all about him, not about us making a name and let's make his name known. You know, let's make his name known, not ours. Have you heard, has the Holy Spirit been ministering to you that where are you? Where have you gone? Where are you? Where have you been? You know, where is your relationship with me? And have you been running? Have you been hiding like Adam? You know, is there something that Jesus is calling you to do? You're like Jonah and running the other way. I'm good at that. You know, I get an assignment. I'm like Jonah. I just want to run the other way. I'm being honest with y'all. I just want to run the other way. You know, I don't want to do it. The Lord's saying, do it. You know, because if you don't do it like Jonah, who's going to go to Nineveh? God was calling him to go to Nineveh, and he was got on a ship and, you know, was hightailing it out of the scene. And God put him in a well, and then he was spit up on the beach, and he got right with God. We don't have to go through all that stuff. You know, if you're running from God, if you're hiding, just say, Lord, look, I give my life back to you. You know, I rededicate my life back to you. And set me on fire for you, that I can do the things you're calling me to do and not try to make a name, but make your name known. That waken the gifts that are within me, that come alive again. If you've been dormant, you know, like a tree stays dormant for, what, four or five months. Sometimes I think our gifts, our life, sometimes can go dormant too. Just call on him. You know, he said, call upon me, and I will show you great mighty things that you knowest not of. So here again we read that God's calling Adam, where are you? And he knew where Adam was, but wanted to know, where are you? Where's your relationship with me? And then the second thing that we get out of the story that I've got is that Adam was blaming Eve. That's the wife he gave me that made me do it. And then Eve was blaming the devil. And so don't blame anyone. If you made a mistake, just admit it and, you know, say, Lord, I repent of that. Sorry, I missed it, messed up. You know, forgive me, you know. In our humanness, we do make mistakes. And let's call on him and say, Lord, you know, get me back on the right path. You know, let me do what I'm supposed to do, you know. And let's not try to make a name, but make his name known. And I tell you what, I love the scripture when it says, perfect peace is his, whose mind is stayed on who? It's him. And I tell you what, you'll never be the same. You know, he'll shake you up, stir you up, and get you where you should be. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful for that because, you know, if we look at this, where are you? Your relationship with me, I tell you what, you know, by us hiding and like Adam was doing, hiding, and you know, look at it this way. If Jonah didn't go back to Nineveh, think of this one. I can't remember offhand how many people there were. I think it was 100,000. I can't remember. I know it was quite a bit, quite a few, a little over 100,000. I think that people were waiting on Jonah to minister to those people. So, you know, there, if you look at this, there is the people in Nineveh, Jonah was holding their destiny in the palm of his hands, and he was throwing them away. You know, he didn't want to do it. And because of our unwillingness to do what Jesus tells us to do, you know, how many people are we jeopardizing? Now think of it that way. You know, you could be an encourager to someone and you just say, well, I don't know them and I'm not going to do it. Or you know, the Lord could touch your heart and say, help them financially, and you don't do it. Or the Lord told you to go to the mission field, you don't do it. How many people lives are at stake because of your unwillingness to do what he told you to do? Now think about that one. You know, are you going to hear God say to you, you know, where are you? You know, the scriptures tell us, my sheep know me by my voice. So it's important to have your quiet time, and he'll speak to you through his word as well. But don't throw your destiny, your talents, and throw them away. Don't do that. You know, you might say, well, I've not been to Bible college. I've not been to this. Or, you know, I know one time I was flying to Hawaii, and I'll be quiet after this, and I'll play my song. Thank you, Danny, for getting that going for me. I appreciate that. I can't thank you enough, Danny. I was flying to Hawaii, And when I got to the airport and I was driving my car across country, and I think you've all heard this, I think my wife's tired of me sharing this, but when I got to California, I went to the Matson, and I watched them put my car in a box, and then they stacked it on the ship and got to the airport, LA airport. I'll never forget this. And she said, "I'm sorry, the jumbo jet's completely booked." I said, "Great, I'm out of here. I'm going back home. I'm getting my security back. I'm going back in the military." I said, "This is a sign from God. I am going back home. I'm going to Matson to get my car back. I'm driving back home, and I'm signing up for the military again." She said, "Oh, no. Wait a minute." She said, "We've got one seat available for you." And I said, "Oh, you do?" Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I said, "I wanted to head back home and get my security back." And she said, "Yep, we're putting you upstairs." And I said, "Upstairs?" I said, "Do I have to sit with the animals or the cargo?" And she said, "No." She said, "Upstairs is first class." I said, "Really?" So this was on a big jumbo jet, the 747s. And here I'm sitting upstairs. So, career's over with. Security's gone. And I thought I was leaving to go back home to sign up again in the military. Well, I'm sitting upstairs in the jumbo jet. There's only 16 seats at that time, 16 seats up there. And I was sitting next to a gentleman, and I believe he was a CEO of Gillette Corporation, and he was going on as the plane took off. And, you know, I still didn't want to go to Hawaii. I was still resisting. He was going on about his trips and his travels and climbing the corporate ladder and going on to Singapore, Japan, Hawaii, and Japan, Singapore. This cat was, I shouldn't say that, but I wanted to pop his bubble. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, he was so full of just, you know, I mean, he was a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. I hope he didn't come after me. But he was a nice guy, but you should have heard him. And then I said, "Lord, please don't let that gentleman ask me what I do for a living, because I really don't know." I mean, he was very successful, and I admired that about him. He had a lot of, he was very energetic. Then he, and during the flight, he said, "Dad, what, young man, what do you do for a living?" I have no idea. I thought to myself, "Lord, what do I tell this prominent fellow of society? I don't know what I do." And the Lord just said, "Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit put on my heart, tell him you have your degrees." I said, "I do." And the Holy Spirit told me, "Yes." And so the Holy Spirit gave me something to share with this prominent fellow of society. And then I said, "Sir, I have my BA, my MA, and my PhD. He said, "What?" He said, how old are you?" And I told him, he said, "My, you're quite young to have your PhD. What'd you major in?" So I said, "My BA is I'm born again." I said, "My my BA is I'm born again. My MA, master's." I said, "I'm mad at the devil." "My PhD is I'm past having doubts." And he looked at me like, "What? Are you crazy?" You know. But let me tell you something. When you have a willing heart, and when you have a willing heart to say, "Okay, Lord, you know, I'll do what you tell me to do," he'll take care of you. And here I was halfway across the the Pacific, and I didn't have a title, you know, I didn't have any income. I just had a little Honda Civic and going to Hawaii to work with a doctor to build orphan homes. And I tell you what, when that plane landed, I never lacked. From the time I got to Hawaii, I tell you what, it was grand. And here I wanted to give it up, drive back and get my security. And that's not what the Lord wanted. You know, and, you know, because I think back on that, you know, all the lives that the Lord touched on the streets of Waikiki. We ministered, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes we'd be on the streets of Waikiki ministering, and then we'd go on to church. We'd take some of the sinners with us. Get in the car. You're going to church with us. Okay. You know, we'd take some of them. I mean, we'd minister from midnight on to time to go to church on Sunday, and we'd take some of the people with us. And working with Dr. Patrick in the orphan home, I tell you what, I was so glad that I listened to the voice of God, the Holy Spirit telling me what to do. You know, it might sound crazy to people, "Oh, you shouldn't give your career up," but we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused on what he's calling us to do, because I tell you, you will never go wrong if you listen to his voice. Don't ever let him say, "Where are you, Tom? Where are you, Paul? Where are you, Suzanne?" Don't ever let him tell you that. You know, he knows where you are, but where are you with him? So I'm going to play a song. Again, Danny, thank you for charging that. You got to show me how to charge that thing, because I'm not sure. I just put it back in my truck and let the truck charge charge it. I haven't even been driving my truck. What's that, Danny? Yeah, thank you. He's going to show me later. I'm going to put on a song. deep in love with you. And then I'll give you an opportunity, if we have a few minutes, to let someone call in and give their testimony, or if you have a prayer need, just call in. Let me play the song Deep in Love with You by Michael W. Smith. You'll really enjoy it. Well, it should be playing, Danny. Yeah, it's on the white lights. Yep, I'm not getting anything. Well, I guess it's not meant to be to play my song. Probably it's needs charge, Danny. I'm pretty sure, with the lights on, so. Yeah, it's playing the song, but it's not. I got it turned up. Well, anyway, there it is, Danny. Thank you, Danny. Hope you enjoy the song.
Sitting at your feet is where I wanna be. I'm home when I am here with you. Ruined by your grace and never by your gaze. I can't resist the tenderness of you.
Amen.
Deep in love with you, Lord. sing it from here.
Does your heart beat for him? And are you deep in love with Jesus? You want to call in, share a testimony? You want to share your heart? You need prayer? Feel free to call in. The number is 632-1000. Feel free to call in, 632-1000. Love to hear from you. You have a testimony? You need prayer? You don't have to give your name. I don't know about you, but I sure could use some prayer. And I think we all can. That's why we encourage one another, as Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily. What a day is still called today. It's so important. You need a word of encouragement, call in. I'll do my best to encourage you. The number here again is 632-1000. Don't be shy. We're living in a time where you don't need to be shy anymore. Don't be quiet. Don't be still. But call in. Is your heart beating for him? Are you falling deeper in love with him as he wants you to? All of us, you know, call in. Again, the number here is 632-1000. I'm just so grateful that he answers prayer. I'm so grateful that he said, call upon him, and he will show you great mighty things that you know us not of. Are we calling on him? Are you calling on him? And what is it that you need? And don't be shy. You know, don't be shy to say, I don't think I'm doing what God calls me to do. And you can call in and tell me that in verse 9, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? What does that mean to you? You can call in and tell me, you know, where are you? And I believe it was the Lord saying, where are you with me? Colin, if you need, you have a testimony, you have a prayer request, you know, just feel free to call in and love to hear from you. That's part of my program. It's not about Tom being here rattling on. You know, one guy told me one time, you know, you haven't finished Bible college and how can God use you? And I said, well, don't blame me. You know, he's trying to blame me that I'm not in the right place. I said, well, you want to blame anyone? Just go to God and complain to him. Don't complain to me. You know, I'm just doing what I feel he's calling me to do. You know, we're all called, by the way. You know, we're all called. I told the fellow, don't blame me. Just go to Jesus. If you have any complaints, go to him. He's the one that called me to do this. You know, again, all he's looking for is a willing heart. He's looking for a willing heart. You know, be still. Know he's God. Don't be complaining. He inhabits the praises of his people, not the complaints, the praises of his people. Now, I'm good about complaining. And the Lord gets a hold of me and saying, hey, son, back up, you know, praise me. He inhabits the very praises of his people. And you want to call in? Again, don't be shy. Come on now. Don't be shy. You feel like you have a call on your life, and call in. Love to encourage you. You know, if you want to start a business and no one's been encouraging you, I'll do it. I'll encourage you. You know, whatever God puts on your heart to do, you need to do it. You need to do it. Don't look at circumstances. Don't listen to, you know, the biggest thing we could do is share our dream with people. Some people will just, they're dream killers. There are a lot of dream killers out there. You're called to do something, you just do it. You just do it. With God's help, you can do it. If you listen to the naysayers, you can't, you know, they'll say, oh, you can't do it. You can't do that. You can't become a pastor. You can't become a teacher. Why can't you? You know, if Jesus told you, do it, you know? Oh, I'm going to start a business. Oh, you can't do that. You don't have enough money. Well, if you feel like starting a business, do it. You know, whatever it is that God's calling you to do, I'm telling you, just do it. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. And I loved when he said that. But you know what? Take that dream and go live it. Don't just keep dreaming and dreaming and dreaming. Take the dream and the vision that he's given you and run with it. You run with it. And he's the one, and I believe it's in the book of Revelation, that it says, yea, I'm setting before thee an open door. No man can close it. No man. So if he's opening the door, don't worry about man trying to close it, because he can't. You know, if he's calling you to do something, you know what? Just do it. Hear his heart and just do it. You know, things could be against you. Yeah, look, I was gave my the little career up that I had in the military, which I sure enjoyed. I became a, believe it or not, Olympic runner for the Army. I used to run 35, believe it or not, 25 to 35 miles, Danny. I would run that every other day. Today, I can't walk that. You know, in my age, I'm doing good just to get up in the morning, you know. So, but whatever he's calling you to do, I encourage you to do it. You know, I encourage you to do it. But be careful who you share your dream and your vision with, because they're going to say, well, I don't, you know, I told some of my family members that my career was ending, and they said, that's the biggest mistake you're ever going to make in your entire life. No, it wasn't. It's the best. It was the greatest thing the Lord had me to do in my life. You know, the security was gone. I just had to trust the Lord, driving my little Honda across the country and putting it on a boat, going to Hawaii, working with a doctor. And, you know, and I watched how God provided for me every single day. It never amazed me. One time I got a call 1 o'clock in the morning. It was from an attorney in Louisville, Kentucky. And he said, Alan said, the Lord, you know, put something on my wife and I's heart. You have a need. And he said, we want to help you with that need. And I said, well, if the Lord told you, then he'll show you the amount. And he said, well, come on. I need to know. I said, nope, can't tell you. You know, if the Lord told you, he will show you the amount. And then it was about, I'd say 2 weeks later, I got a check from him. And I tell you, it's exactly what I needed. God's never late, folks. Saints of God, he's always on time. And there was a time we were finishing up an orphan home in India. And Dr. Patrick was real discouraged. He came back and says, you know, he said, we were the funds and we just don't have enough money to finish the orphan home. And so I had sent a lady while they were gone, this husband and wife, I think you've heard this story before, sent $3 $1 bills to three separate ministries. And this is the truth. And Dr. Rainer always taught us to, whatever the amount is, send a thank you. And I said, gee whiz, Lord, this lady sent $1. It's going to cost me more to send her a thank you card than what she sent. You know, but we sent her a thank you. And then she sent, I don't know what the time frame was, but later on she sent a letter back to the ministry. She said, my husband and I sent $3 $1 bills to three separate ministries. Yours was the only one that thanked us. And on behalf of my husband and I, please accept this $10,000 gift. And I tell you what, I was amazed, because that's what Dr. Patrick needed, $9,000 to finish the Elaine Rainer. It was, the orphan home was named after Dr. Rainer's wife, Elaine Rainer, in India. And we had enough, the Lord provided, to finish off the orphan home. You know what? Some of you think God's late. He's not. I'm here to tell you, he's never late. He's always on time. So no matter what you need in your life, you can call upon him. That's one thing about the Lord. He never sleeps nor slumbers. You can call on him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Just talk to him. You have a need? Talk to him. You know, he knows what you need. You know, just call on him. Is he telling you, where are you? You know, are you hiding? Come on now. Let's wake up. Come on, church. Let's wake up. Let's wake up to hear the essence of his heart and fall deeper in love with him. You'll never be the same. So I've got a few minutes left. If you want to call in, take one call. The number here is 632-1000. Yeah, don't be shy on me. Come on now. Come on. Pick up that phone and call in. The number here is 632-1000. When I was on 91.5, I started out TV. Then I started the radio, Danny. I was at 91.5 in Daytona. And I'd go up there. That's about 100 miles. It took me about 2 hours to get up there. I'd be on the radio for an hour, and then I'd come home. My day was over, and it was over. And I thought, I love the radio up there. And it was 91.5, Danny, up in Daytona. And I couldn't tell you how many people, when I opened the phone lines up, I couldn't answer them fast enough. And I miss that, because the program is about people. You know, it's people. If you get close enough to the Father, you're going to hear his heart. And you know what his heart beats is people, people, people. People. It isn't about Tom, or it's about people. It's about people. People, that's important to Jesus. He went to that cross. Good morning. This is Tom.
Tom, this is Tom here.
Good, Tom. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good, sir.
Okay, brother. This is the second time I've called you. I was sitting here. I'm 88 years old. I'm here in Cocoa. I listen to MIE, and I listen to you. I make sure I'm out here on my swing, listen to you every Thursday. And I'm going to send you a little bit of money. I can't afford much, but I'm going to send what the Lord will give me to send. And I just want to tell you this quick story. 88 years old. I've been in the ministry. And as of late, we've had some difficulty. My wife broke both her hips. So over the past 5 years, had the COVID, almost died, blah, blah, blah. God spared us. We're still here. I'm sitting here feeling kind of miserable one day, and I said, Lord, why don't you keep using me? So just the other day, guess what happened? A man walked in my driveway. I'm legally blind, too. Man walked in my driveway. He said, are you Mike? I said, no, I'm Tom. He said, are you the blind guy? I said, yeah, come on in here. So he came in and sat down, and he said, my daughter sent me over here to talk to you. He had the same experience I had, and the last time I called you, I told you about my wife. I got born again in 1969 on a powerhouse. I was in construction work. And next thing you know, I'm home. I'm bouncing off the floor. I'm so excited about my new love in Jesus. Well, about 7 months later, she coughed up a deal that wasn't true, and I was arrested. I went to the magistrate and took my Bible, and he saw me walking in with the constable. And he said, oh, no, not one of those. And I said, yeah, I'm one of those. He said, I could send you to the county. I said, I didn't do nothing. He said, they all say that. Well, anyway, long story short is, it's been good. She finally came to the Lord Christ before she died. I'm married the second time. And this guy walks up, and he's got the same problem. His wife made him get out of the house, and I think he was living in Ohio, and he was dominant about the Lord Jesus and overflowing with it. And he came in here, and he said, my daughter told me you had the same problem. I don't know how she even knew that, but I'm in a community where people know me. And I said, come on, sit down, and let me talk to you. So I told him, I said, listen, you're not the Holy Spirit. I did the same mistake as you did. And I helped him to understand that he has to listen to the Holy Spirit and just pray for that woman so that she will find out the truth about Jesus. Yes. And you won't have to do anything. You just be the same person you always are. Well, he's down here right now in Florida. But I just want to tell you that to encourage anyone who's listening to you today that it's not too late. God is faithful. His promises are true from one end to the other. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thank you for your encouragement. I really appreciate you, Tom. I really do.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for all that you do. And
well,
I pray God. I pray God's richest blessings upon you, the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Tom, that you have a destiny to fulfill. And thank you for hearing his heart. Thank you for doing what he told you to do and for being faithful and courageous. And we just thank you, Tom.
I'm encouraged for where you've been with your ministry. It's amazing to hear you talk about that. Please continue. God bless you, and I love you.
Love you, Tom. God bless you too, dear brother.
Thank you, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Tom, and thank you, Tom, for calling in, and I was encouraged by your testimony. Doesn't matter what age you are, doesn't matter that God can use you. Whether you're 13, whether you're, 50, 60, I'm almost 70, and God can use you where you are. And that's that's God, He'll just use someone that's willing, with a willing heart. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter if you have a degree or not. He'll use you if you let him in a mighty way that you know what's not of. Because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? I don't remember reading in Jonah there was another Jonah Jr., Jonah the third. There's only one Jonah, and there's only one of you. So if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? It may not get done. It may not get done. We, the church, have to be that light into the darkness. We have to be the light. That people will see us and say, there's something different about them or him, and it's Jesus. It isn't us, because the world's getting darker, folks. It's getting darker, And we need to be that light and speak up in love, not scare people, because I believe in the word, it tells us, as a deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. That deer is tasting the waters. What happens, Danny, you like fishing. If you go up and there's a spool of fish and you make a bunch of noise, what's going to happen? I guess the spool of fish will disappear. Yeah, they'll scatter. Yeah, good. Thanks, Danny. They're going to scatter. And if you go up to deer when it's tasting that water and you yell at it, what's going to happen? It's going to run away from you. It's going to run away. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. So if you go up to that person, you know, that's not where you are, and they're a sinner, they haven't been to church, you know, you go up and you yell at them and you tell them you're a sinner, you need to repent. They already know they're a sinner. You just need to go up to them with Jesus' love and love on them. You need to love on them. You know, we're not called to change people. We're called to love them. And you'll have an opportunity to share Christ with that person if you love them. You know, as a deer panteth for the waters. He's tasting that water. And there's a lot of people tasting the water. You know, we just have to go up and love that person where they are on the way or where Jesus wants to take them. And you too. You know, I don't want to hear God telling me, where are you, Tom? I don't want to hear that God's ministering to you and saying, where are you? Where are you with me? You know, God knew the exact grid coordinates that Adam was hiding, and also Eve. He knew the exact grid coordinates. But he was trying to say, where are you with me? Where are you today with him? As my program ends, I've got a few more minutes. Where are you with him? Because if you don't do it, who's going to do it? You know, there's only one Jonah, one Abraham, you know, one Isaac, one Adam, one Eve, you know. And if we don't stay the course, stay focused, you know, keep our eyes on him. Because you put your eyes on the world, you're going to be greatly disappointed. You're going to be greatly disappointed. Perfect peace, who's his, whose mind has stayed on him, you know. My biggest problem is my flesh. It's my flesh. It gets in the way a lot. And I'm being upfront and honest. You know, I love the Lord. I love ministering to people, encouraging people. I love the mission field. But I have issues with my flesh. Paul said that in the Word of God that we must decrease that Jesus can increase. And there's a lot of times my flesh is increasing. And I said, wait a minute, Lord, help me with this flesh. You know, because I struggle with it on a daily basis. And Lord, you help me with it. And I'm being upfront and honest with you. Lord, help me. Help me in my unbelief. You know, help me to stay the course and stay focused on what you're calling me to do. Not what the naysayers say. Come on now, folks. If you want to do something, you just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you're nudging me and you're wanting me to do something. You know, and just, you know, just do it. Because if you don't do it, who else is going to do it? You know, Dr. Patrick called me and to go to Hawaii to work with him in the mission field. And I didn't want to go. I said, when he first called me, I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and I wasn't going to go. I said, Dr. Patrick, I have 10 more years. He said, well, that's not what you told me. You told me if I ever needed help, I could call you. Does that sound familiar to y'all? That if you promise Jesus you're going to do something and you back out of it, you know, I told Dr. Patrick, well, I got 10 years. 10 more years, I get a pension. My mindset, my stinking thinking was on 10 more years, I get a pension check. And I'm just being honest and upfront. I no longer wanted to go back to Hawaii. And the Lord got a hold of me and to go back to Hawaii. And I pray that if whatever you're dealing with, you know, you be careful who you share it with. If you want to start a business, if you want to go in ministry, let him open that door for you. He'll open that door and no man can close it. Whether you want to be a pastor, teacher, you want to start a business, whatever you're called to do, you want to be a lawyer. And we need Christian senators, we need Christian congressmen, we need Christian people in politics as well. So whatever it is that the Lord's nudging you to do, I want you to do it. And the Lord wants you to do it. And I want to encourage you. As Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, not some things, not a few things. He said all things through Christ, he'll strengthen you. What are you wrestling with? You know, Just do it. Whatever he's telling you to do, just do it. And I tell you what, that's the greatest decision. Going across country on that big plane flying to Hawaii, you know, getting my degrees, my BA, my MA, and my PhD. BA again is born again. MA is mad at the devil. My PhD is past having doubts. You don't need to worry anymore. Fear not, the word says. And Isaiah it says, fear not, for I'm with you, for I am your God. I will help you, and I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You don't need to be worrying. Don't worry about tomorrow. The word says today has enough cares of its own. You'll miss opportunities if you start worrying about tomorrow. You'll probably crack up. When I think about the condition of the country and how people are and driving on the road, wanting to knock you off the road and how people talk anymore, I said, oh, this is insanity. Stay focused. Stay focused. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. And make sure you give him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. You know what? Do it first class. You know? Do it first class. And he'll show you. He'll make a way where there is no way. Don't worry about tomorrow, the cares of tomorrow. Stay focused on today. Be that blessing he's called you to be today. You know? Because if you don't and you worry about tomorrow, then you're robbing opportunities and divine appointments that may come your way today, but you're too busy worrying about tomorrow. You know anyone like that? They just worry and they worry and they worry and they worry and they worry. Why y'all worrying? You know? Why are you worrying? Just trust him. It's hard. I know. I'm guilty. You know, I stand convicted. But what I'm learning is God will provide. When Abraham took Isaac to the mountaintop, his son said, well, you know, Father, we have the fire and the wood, but we sure don't have the sacrifice. And what was Abraham's response? And I leave you with this today. What was Abraham's response? And that is, Abraham said, God will provide. So no matter what you're going through, if you've lost your job, if your husband walked out on you, God will provide. Stay focused. Is it going to be easy? Nope. Nope. It's not going to be easy. But Jesus will see you through, and he'll take care of you. He always will. We serve a big God. God's not dead. There used to be a song my church would sing. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. And he's alive and well, folks. He's alive and well. He just wants to wake us up, stir us up, shake us up, burn us up, you know, so that we can be that light into the dark places that he's calling us to be. So just remember that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he'll always provide for you, but you need to let him. You need to let him. He's a big, big God. So remember, fall deeper in love with Jesus like never before. And I tell you what, I pray today will be a new dawn. Tom, today will be a new dawn. Tom, that you're listening, a new day, a new dawn, and a new beginning for you, Tom. All you that are listening, stay focused. Keep your eyes on him. Fall deeper in love with him. May your heart beat for him like never before. Until next week, may God richly bless you with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
I'm home and I am here with you. Ruined by your grace, enamored by your gaze. I can't resist the tenderness of you.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.